Well, I take a rule I've got here, and I measure off so long. Then I start and round that, make it as round as I can get it.
With what?
With the pocket knife. Pocket. All you can do with the pocket knife, you can't do nothing else but with the pocket knife on the eggs. And round it, get as round as I could, without, if I'd had a, if we had a, me or him, either one, had had a lathe, we could have make it, made it a whole lot rounder. But you have to get it exactly round with the pocket knife. You can do the best you can, but it, mm-hmm. it does, it don't do too bad. One end you got to have cut off short, and the other one is tapered.
And you made that with a pocket knife?
I did with a pocket knife. Hmm. I was making apple butter at the senior citizens, around the senior citizen, and I had a piece of wood the size of that. That's the size of a duck egg. Mm-hmm. And I painted it two coats of white enamel. You couldn't have told it from a duck egg, save your neck. I had that in my pocket and thought it was to help me, but standing over the corner, and now somebody else was using stirring the apple butter. And I said, "Mr. Jones, you'd like to have a duck egg?" Just throw it to him and you'll see him trying to catch that. Give him hit the ground. He thought short of the egg, real egg.
Braden, back when you were a kid, was that pretty, were you like pretty far back in the country? Did you have a long way to go to a store?
Yeah, you know, had 7 miles to go to the store or post office. And about 3 miles, me and my sister had to walk to school uphill and around the ridge. It was a long ways back then.
Uh-huh. When you were growing up, did you have a car in the family? Did you use a horse?
Never got a car in the family till in the late 20s.
Yeah.
I got a hold of a. My dad went to a sale and got a hold of an old Ford Model T, Ford ton truck. Hmm. I learned to drive that thing. When I was 18, at that time you could get your license at 18. I learned to drive that thing when I was 18 years old. Mm-hmm. And I got my operator's license when I was 18.
Before that, all during growing up, what did you use? Did you have a wagon or did you use just a horse?
Yeah, a horse. Rode a horse or walked where it went. Uh-huh. Either if you didn't have a horse and you couldn't borrow a horse, well, you walked.
Uh-huh. Did you have neighbors close?
Yeah, there was a few neighbors. I had an uncle lived right below us. My dad's oldest brother lived right below us, and then he moved away and sold his farm to one of his daughters, and he had eight places there, and then there's mm-hmm. other fellas would go around.
When you were a kid now, what were the old people like then? Do you have any memories about what the old people, when you were a kid, the old people would have been born about the 1850s, I guess.
Yeah, it was, yeah, the 18, back in the 18s. My oldest brother was born in 18.
Yeah.
They was about the same as they are, the old people are now. They was nice with anybody coming around. They were just friendly as they could be, you know. Mm-hmm. All the old people was. And they'd done more visiting than they did now.
Yeah.
If you, anybody have any sickness, or the whole community going in, and if they had a cornfield that needed hoe, they worked it out for them while they were sick, or if you needed somebody to take them to the doctor, but there was no point in it, nothing mm-hmm. wrong, but they all joined in, whatever it was, to be done. Like building a house or building a barn. They always called it a house raising, or building out of logs, you know.
What was your house built out of?
It was a Jenny Lynn house built out of lumber.
Uh-huh. How do you think those Jenny Lynn, how do you think they got that name?
I don't know. I would have at least study. Yeah. That was when I came on the scene, it was a Jenny Lynn house. If you didn't see anybody around, it was a Jenny Lynn. Uh-huh. And I suppose because it was, they laid the foundation and then they just started right around the house with the boards and they used the outside as the inch lumber. Then you put a little thin number over the cracks, seal it on the inside with wallpaper or what have you. Back then they could get a brown paper that was heavier than the regular paper, but they tacked on the wall. It was like a whole lot like this here black board that they roll of stuff you can buy, put it on underneath of shingles. Mm-hmm. It's about the same thing. Mm-hmm. They get it in a roll and they put that on the wall, and it just like sealing it was something good.
Mm-hmm. Did your mother use any home remedies for sicknesses or anything?
Yeah, she always found something that when one got sick, she'd find something to, if it was skull cap or bone set, make tea out of it. Mm-hmm. And they always told us when he's out of ginseng hunting, if he found any snake root, bring that in too. And I've drunk a lot of snake root tea in my time.
What for?
Break up a bad cold.
Yeah. How about yellow root?
Yellow root's good for sore throat.
Yeah.
Use it for fever blisters on it. Have a best like fever blister on your mouth.
Uh-huh.
Pick up a little piece of yellow root and chew it, and they're gone in no time.
Uh-huh. Anything else they used?
Well, they'd use. Let me see. They'd use. Catnip, and pound up the leaves and make a poultice to pull the core out of a boil.
Yeah.
Bunion or anything like that. Different things that they'd use. My mother, I was working for my uncle on a sawmill and had a boil on my jaw, and my aunt, she said, "I'll have you something to fix on that tonight when you come home." She put a poultice on that out of a used the butter that mixed with catnip, but unsalted butter. She made a poultice on that, and next morning out there, when they pulled that thing off, patched it over, she put on the core of that boil was sticking fast to it. And she just fixed me up a little bit of a patch and put over top of it, keep from getting infection. That was all there was to that boil.
Did you ever know anybody that could stop blood? Did you ever hear tell that?
Not really. I had my neighbor, my aunt, or cousin, and her husband. I cut my thumb off in 1930, and he thought he stopped it, but I don't know where he might have done. I don't know. He said he there's a first in the Bible that he used to stop blood with, but I don't know whether he did or not, or whether it was just. He told me after he thought he stopped it for me.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't know for sure. I know that he didn't start bleeding until my oldest brother stuck my hand in warm water. Then the blood started and he couldn't get it stopped. And I even tied a string around stuck my finger and ripped my wrist to keep it from bleeding. Till I called a doctor. There was nothing to go to the doctor. I'd have went to Rosedale. I had about 7 miles to ride a horse. He come there. It wasn't a bleeding when he got there, but I my first cousin might have stopped it. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
He's the only person I know of around that even tried to stop blood with a Bible verse.
Uh-huh. Did you ever hear of anybody taking off warts?
No, I've heard them, but I never seen nobody do it.
Uh-huh.
But I had a wart on my, had a wart on me somewheres. And me and Gail Snyder was working at the, cleaning up the Meadows graveyard. He said, "Let me take that wart off." And I said, "Help yourself." And I was, I don't know what he done. He just marked the X on that with his finger. And whatever I done, he done. After that, I had my shirt off. I just worked on me somewhere under my arm, I think right along under my arm. And 4 or 5 years it disappeared. I don't know whether he took it off or whether it just come off. it didn't go off right then.
But he marked an X on it.
He marked, took his finger, marked the X on that there. And when I had my shirt off, he pulled his shirt off before he'd done it. He marked X on it. And when I put my shirt back on, he put his shirt back on. whatever, we just went to mowing the lawn and after that. Uh-huh. I don't remember that because it might have been.
So part of the cure was whatever you did, he did.
Yeah, I guess if that's what he was meant to do.
Uh-huh. Is there any other cures for things like that that you heard of or can remember from back then?
Yeah. Grafting wax is good to take pull the core out of a boil.
Yeah.
If anybody has a boil, grafting wax is good for it. But there's a better remedy than that. I rode a horseback, I had one boil on my chin and one on, one on my jaw. And I rode a horse to Lockney to the As Collins' store. When his wife said to me, he said, "How many of them boils you had on you?" I said, "I've had a lot of them." She said, "If you'd like to get rid of them?" I said, "I'd give anything in the world to get rid of them." She said, "I'll tell you what to do and you won't cost you about it." She said, "You go home, you go to the barnyard and you look for some burdock. You dig you some burdock roots, take them to your house, take them to the house and have your mother to." She said, "Don't scrape them. Just take them and wash the dirt off of them there, get them nice and clean. And take them roots that you get. Tell her to put them in a pot and make you some tea." He said, "You drink a cup of that, one cup every night before you go to bed." She said, "I'll guarantee you that you'll have no, when them boils gone, you won't have no more." And that was in, I see, he has about 19 and 30. And I ain't had a boil since. So that's, I recommend that to anybody that's got that, them bunions or boils on them to try that. Mm-hmm. There was James Rollins was the boss of the supervisor engineer of this station there up here. And they put in some kind of a stuff in the line up here that you could, where they, oh, this gas that they pump now is coming from Texas. Mm-hmm. And it don't have, all the elements is out of it. You can't even smell it. Mm-hmm. When they put stuff in here so you can smell it when you have a leak in your house. Mm-hmm. That put boils all over that man. He had the pimples and boils all over him. And I told him to get that, and he got that, and he said that when he could stay away from stuff here, that he wouldn't have none of that. But when he come back, these things, they come back on him. Uh-huh. He tried it. He said it'd work.
Uh-huh. How about it? Did you ever have ways of curing animals like cows and sheep and horses and things?
Dad, he was, they called him a midwife for cows. They called him to go to a cow that couldn't have a calf. He would go and deliver the calf for him. She didn't clean herself, he'd go help him clean her up good, but take the bath work away from her and all that to get her in good shape. Dad done that. Uh-huh. A different place. He'd go anywhere that anybody called him, any time of the day or night, he'd go and help him take care of the roof. Huh. He wasn't a veterinarian. He didn't know anything about a lot of stuff. A horse had the colic. He had a remedy for that. He'd drench him with something and said, to cure the colic. Uh-huh. We had an old mare that every time we were working back on the hill, if you let her drink too much water, she'd have water colic. We have to run her up and down the road for a long time to get her to break that colic on her.
Hmm. Did you ever hear of doing something to a cow they call wolfing the tail?
Yeah, I've seen Dad spit a cow's tail.
Now tell me what he did.
He just spit it open and put salt and pepper in that slit cut, and put it, kind of wrap it, put it back together. He put his gash back as close as he could, and he'd tie a string around it to hold that pepper and stuff in there. And what it was the bone had quit growing in the end of the tail. when they split that, well, that he wouldn't have to put anything in it, I think, but he'd always put that in it to help seal it.
Now, what did that do for the cow? Or what was the matter with the cow to begin with?
it was the bone was just starting to deter down in the end of her tail.
Yeah.
When that long, right in the end, where that long hair is on the end of a cow's tail.
Yeah.
The bone would deteriorate. But no, it'd be about an inch or inch and a half of tail there with no bone in it.
Uh-huh.
That's what they started to make that tail grow, bone grow back down in that there for that hair in that tail.
And that would make it grow back down.
That makes that cut that out and that split that and it would.
And why would it be bad to leave the cow?
I don't know. Uh-huh. I never did know.
Might just get worse.
I don't know whether, I don't suppose you'd kill a cow. Yeah. Might cause her tail to come off or something that way. I don't know. I don't, really don't know.
Now, and you call that, when he did that, what did you call that?
He called it wolfing the tail.
Wolfing the tail?
Wolfing the tail, yeah.
Huh. Did you ever have any problems with snake bite or anything like that? In the family, or
no,
you have to cure that,
no.
Or neighbors or anything?
Not that I know of, but I've been told lately that here in later years that I had an aunt that died with a bit of a copperhead on Chestnut right. Lick, right below where I was born. Hmm. But I don't really know that that's true. Mm-hmm. Just the neighbor's woman that I grew up with, the girl that I grew up with, she said that what caused my aunt's death was she got bit by a copperhead and they didn't know nothing about it.
Did you ever hear people say that the snake bite's worse in dog days than other
dogs? No, I never did.
Never heard that?
No. I've heard them say the snake were blind in dog days.
Yeah.
But first, am I biting anyway? I suppose they would, but I don't know if anybody ever got bitten in dog days.
Mm-hmm. Did your people always plant by the signs and things
yeah,
like that?
Dad and mother did.
And what signs did they use?
They never planted the sign when the sign was in the blossom. They never planted nothing that, like beans or anything that way, for the year and nothing but bloom, They said. And they always planted, and the sign was in the twins. That was the most fruitful sign.
Oh, yeah. How about the moons, the phase of the moon? They do that, a lot of things by that.
That's the sign. They go by the sign in the moon.
Yeah. Do you think that stuff holds true?
I think it does, yeah.
And what kind of things do you do in the dark of the moon or light of the moon?
Well, I've heard them say if you put boards on, back years ago that's all the roof they had was clapboard roof.
Uh-huh.
If you put them on in the dark of the moon, I believe it's dark of the moon, one or the other, either the dark or the light, they'd curl up and pull the nails right out of them, and you'd turn it, put it the other way, they'd lay down flat and never curl up. If you lay a board down in a certain time of the moon, the ends of it will just start coming up and it'll just warp all over the place. And another time of the moon, you'd lay it down the same way as a clapboard. It just lay flat. So I don't know whether I've done you any good or not.
Oh, yeah. was there fish in the creeks when you were young? Did you do much fishing?
Yeah,
hunting?
Yeah, right. We always gigged.
Did you?
Yeah.
What would you gig for?
Whatever's in the creek.
With a light?
With a light, yeah. You go to the woods and get a pine knot, they call them. Uh-huh. Put them in a basket, and one fella carry the basket, and the rest of them gig the fish. We never had much time to go along a creek and fish in the daytime. We always had the farm work to do. Always had to go get our fish of a night if we got any fish.
Did you stack hay
That's the way we got it. Put her up.
You put it in haystacks?
Put it in haystacks, yeah. Uh-huh.
You know how to make a haystack?
Yeah, I think I do.
Did you use a pole up the center?
Yeah, pole up the center, yeah.
Trumpet?
I've stacked a lot of hay and I've pitched a lot of hay.
Yeah.
I've pitched more hay than I ever stacked. I took my oldest boy and I put bunches of hay. All he had to do was just level them out a little bit and trump them. I'd go clear around the stack that way. They have a bunch of hay in front of him. Mm-hmm. Me and him could stack a pretty nice stack of hay. Mm-hmm. Looked real good.
I've seen them. Some people make them. They kind of go out when they go out.
Yeah.
And then you top them off somehow.
Yeah. You have to wipe that hay around the pole so it won't kind of twist it so it won't blow off. Uh-huh. Beat it. Take a fork and back of your fork and beat it down so it won't get a chance to the wind or run it and beat it to raise it up.
Your dad played the fiddle. Would you play at night and stuff for just for entertainment?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you were a kid?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. We'd play. He'd play. Anybody come around and ask him to play the violin, he'd get her down and play it for him.
Did anybody in the family tell any stories, tales, or?
No, not that I know of. Don't remember of any of the family telling any. Never heard him tell anything about anything of such at all. Mm-hmm. Don't remember.
No ghost stories or anything like that.
No, uh-uh.
But now Phyllis knows those.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of them since I've grown up, but first my family telling, I don't think any of them ever did.
Did you, when radios first came out, did you ever get one of those?
Or yeah, we got a radio.
What would you listen to?
Dad, he when he got his first radio, he was watching that there Navy program. I forget what the name of it was. Something about the Navy.
Now, when did you get your first radio? Do you remember when?
It was in the early 30s.
Early 30s.
Uh-huh. Huh. I was married in 32. Mm-hmm. I lived with dad and mother for a while, and then there's a house on the place, and my sister moved out, and then I moved in. And we got our first radio after I moved out in there. I had an old Chevrolet coupe that I jacked up a wheel and put a belt on it and put a generator to that. And the radio I had to have a battery in there. I'd use that to charge the battery up, sort of listen to the radio. Mm-hmm. I put a wire from one hill to the other and run a wire up. It took 75 or 100 feet of wire, reached from the house up to the further, with the two insulators in between it. Mm-hmm. When I get stationed, nobody else would get around there on that creek. A lot of them would come to my place to listen to the radio. But I don't know why I didn't get one that didn't take use dry batteries. And when the battery's gone, throw it away and get another one. But I had to use a car battery. Dad had a radio that we kept our batteries charged up that way off of with, wore out an old Chevrolet rear end to charging batteries with it.
What else when you were growing up, you had an old horse, farm horse, work horse.
Yeah.
Did you have to keep a cow?
Yeah, we kept cattle.
You ever keep sheep?
Yeah, Dad's kept sheep.
Yeah.
Sheep, cattle.
Hogs?
Hogs. Always killed our own hogs. Mm-hmm. had her own meat. Killed a sheep once in a while.
Do you like that?
Yeah.
Mutton?
I like mutton. A lot of people don't, but I do.
Mm-hmm. You like wild meat too?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'd rather have deer meat than have beef. Mm-hmm. I like it a whole lot better than do beef. Mm-hmm. It's better for you too, I think.
Did you take your meal out of ground, your corn out of ground?
Yeah.
Did you raise any wheat too?
Yeah, when I was growing up, Dad always raised wheat. When I was first, till I got about 14 years old, and the thrash machine quit coming around and he had to quit grazing wheat.
Is that right? Now, would you have to take your wheat to get it ground too?
Yeah,
we'd have to. Where did you take it?
Take it to what they call Pricetown now, over here at the Weston, next to Weston, the last wheat at ground.
Uh-huh. Well, what about when you were young and you're just taking corn to get ground, where would you take it?
Up to Perkins, that's
Perkins,
about halfway between Slab Camp and Rosedale. There was a flour mill there, and the old man couldn't get nobody running. They just had to quit. He quit when they quit raising wheat too. Uh-huh. But up until they got quit grinding there, couldn't get nobody to run his mill for him. Then my uncle lived just right across the hill from on Chestnut Lick, where I was raised, right above where I was raised. He had him and his neighbor bought a sawmill, and they bought a grist mill with it. And he ground there for years until they got too old to fool with it.
Now, what kind of corn did you raise?
White corn and yellow corn. Always raise some white corn to make her meal. Uh-huh. Always like white meal.
Did the variety have a name, or just white corn?
Well, just white corn is all I know.
I used to have something called Bloody Butcher.
Yeah, my dad never did raise much of that. Uh-huh. He had another corn that it was called Thumbnail Corn. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That's what he raised. He mixed it with some other kind of white corn and had a great big ear. Uh-huh. That big, so big and so long. It was early corn too, like. That thumbnail was real early corn, and it made that early corn. We got big ears and a lot of grains off of one ear.
Uh-huh. What kind of beans did you raise?
Just about all kinds: soup beans, corn beans, bunch beans, pole beans, whatever kind you get a hold of, we raised them. Uh-huh.
You'd keep your own seed
year to year.
Uh-huh. Now, what's the best way to keep bean seed like that?
Now, the best way to keep it is put it in a deep freeze. Uh-huh. Put it in a deep freeze, and it'll germinate quicker when you put it in the ground than it will if you don't put it down there. Mm-hmm. And then there's danger of the bugs, little old bugs getting in and eating up your seed.
Yeah.
If you don't put it in.
Do you still raise a garden?
Yeah, still raise a garden.
What do you raise?
I raise potatoes and corn and beans.
What kind of beans do you raise now?
Last year I raised some bunch of beans, and I raised some big white corn beans. Uh-huh. But this year I may get some corn beans. If I don't, I won't. It rides the corn down, and you don't get no beans or corn either that way. Wife, she raises her garden too, and she raises tomatoes and beans and corn, and anything she can plant.
So you both raise.
We both raise a garden. Yeah.
Two separate gardens.
They separate garden.
You have a competition.
Yeah.
Who wins?
I win. A lot of times, she won't let me plant corn or plant potatoes on her in her garden. I've got to. You ran to get some ground off of the company here to plant my potatoes. She said I don't know how to raise a garden.